When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
I know that you guys are going to consider this hate. I'm simply arguing the numbers. That's what I'm doing. I'm arguing the numbers. I'm arguing the production. Now, you guys are going to hear this as a Missouri fan trying to throw hate, and that's okay. But again, I'm here arguing the numbers. I'm here arguing the production. Everybody is mad at Andy Katz. You guys remember Andy Katz, college basketball guy. Used to work at ESPN. I actually don't know where he works now. He made a list. He made a list of the top 10 players in the NCAA tournament. He did not include Darren Peterson. Twitter was angry. Everybody yelling, screaming, mad. This list is stupid. It's invalid because you don't have Darren Peterson on the list. Rob came in hot and bothered. This was the number one thing he wanted to talk about today when we were doing our pre-show meeting. I can't believe Andy Katz. I looked at Rob and I said, the list is correct. Rob walked out of the room in the middle of our conversation. Walked out. Came back. We kept talking about it. I said, you know, let's talk about it on the air. Let's talk about it on the air. This would be my argument against Darren Peterson. At what point are we going to talk about the way that he is playing? Because I feel like with Darren Peterson, it is always speaking in a future sense of if and when he gets hot. Rob, there is no tomorrow. If Kansas loses one more game, Darren Peterson's college basketball career is over. Since February, Darren Peterson is shooting 37% from the floor. Since February, Darren Peterson is shooting 33% from three. He is shooting 41% from twos. Rob, let me ask you a question. Do you know how many assists Darren Peterson has since February? Just how many times he has passed the ball to a teammate and his teammate scored a basket? Do you know how many assists? That is over an 11-game span. So not a small sample size. Over an 11-game sample. Do you know how many assists Darren Peterson has in his last 11 games?
It's like 40, right? Something like in the 40s?
He has 17 assists. Think about that. Rob, you are a Kansas basketball season ticket holder. You follow this team that Kansas basketball is your favorite team. Rob, he has 17 assists in his last 11 games. Darren Peterson does not make anybody on Kansas better based on that number right there. It is not like he is passing the ball to Melvin Council and he is scoring. He is not passing the ball to Florian and Florian. He has 17 assists in 11 games. He is not shooting well. Just, I gave you the numbers. 37% from the floor, 33% from three, and he does not make other teammates better right now. I am sorry. Yes, he might be the first overall pick in the NBA draft. He might be the second overall pick in the NBA draft. Right now, the way that this version of Darren Peterson is playing, he is not one of the 10 best players in the NCAA tournament. I'm sorry, he's not.
So, I first and foremost vehemently disagree. I agree with you on this, though. I don't think he is playing great basketball recently. He's just not making shots. He was sold.
That's
as an
really
elite.
Important because he doesn't do anything else.
Except for he's still scoring at a pretty high level. Despite
he gets to the free throw line for sure. He gets to the free throw line.
I'm looking at his game logs. He had 27 against K-State. He had 24 against TCU. He had 24 against Arizona. Like, yeah, he's not making shots, and he's still scoring near 25 a night in his last three of his last five games. So, yeah, is he a great passer? No. Is he shooting the ball well? Absolutely not. But he's still finding a way to score 25-plus in these last couple of games. Like, there's a value in that. There are not many players in college basketball that fill it up like that.
I agree with you. I would just make the argument of, if Darren Peterson doesn't score, they don't really have a whole lot of other guys on Kansas that can score. They only got five guys on the team.
But
somebody has to score on the team. I'm not telling you that Darren Peterson can't play, but I'm telling you the numbers say he cannot shoot and he does not pass the basketball. Two very important things about basketball. We're also not calling him a lockdown defender. You're not saying that you can put him on the best player on the other team and you feel like he can shut him down on the other side. Darren Peterson's not playing well, and I feel like we have talked so much about cramps and so much about injuries and so much about these other things, and yeah, he's going to turn it on when it gets to March. March was in the Big 12 tournament. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat for two straight days. Now I think that guy is turning into I don't know if that player exists right now. I don't know if he exists.
See, I think what you're doing is you're using two metrics to ding Darren. And I'm not saying he's one, but top 10 right now, he averages 19.9 a game this season.
I'd rather have all of these players right now than the version of Darren Peterson that is currently playing. I'm saying the version that is playing, not what we think when he's fully healthy. I'm sure he will have a
great. I don't think we've ever seen him fully healthy at Kansas. He's still averaging 20 a night.
I'm with you. I'm looking at it right now. You cannot tell me that you think that Darren Peterson is better than Keaton Wagler right now. You cannot make that argument. It's not based on anything. It's not based on how they're playing. You cannot make the argument that he's been better than Kingston Flemings. You cannot. So I'm saying is, I would look at this list. I mean, the top eight to me, I don't even know how you could kind of argue the list. Like, they only got one player from Arizona on this list. I'm sorry. Coa Pete is playing better than Darren Peterson is playing right now. That Barry's kid is playing better than Darren Peterson is playing right now. He'd be the fourth best player on this Arizona team the way that he is currently playing.
I mean, I would take him over Braden Smith. Joshua Jefferson, come on now. Darren Peterson is better than Joshua Jefferson. And the kid from Gonzaga, there's absolutely no way on earth you would take the Gonzaga kid over Darren Peterson.
I've maybe seen that kid play one time. I can't even comment on his game. I ain't gonna lie to
you. By the way, I know that everyone talks about, Darren Peterson only scores, da-da-da-da. His player efficiency rating is 25.9, and points per 40 is 27.9 per game. He is an elite scorer of the basketball.
Well,
is
this, he a great this, shooter? This Graham Ike kid is shooting 58% from the floor. Now, he's also playing in the West Coast Conference, so baskets are coming in. Right now, if we are evaluating Darren Peterson's game, I would say right now he does two things. He takes a lot of shots, and he gets to the free throw line. That right now is all he does at a high level. He takes a lot of shots. By a former college player,
yes,
relatively speaking.
I hear you're
saying. He takes a lot of shots, and yes, he gets to the free throw line. He gets there somewhere between 8 to 10 times a game. He does not really do a whole lot else for Kansas right now. He doesn't shoot it well.
Right now,
that's all that matters. The tournament starts Friday for Kansas. That's all that matters is right now. It doesn't matter how he's going to shoot in June. He ain't going to be on the team in June. He's going to be on the Wizards in June. It also matters how he's shooting today.
It also could be a poor four-game stretch, and he breaks out of it tomorrow. I mean, or Friday, excuse me. That could
he
happen.
He absolutely could break out of it. You're right. He could break out of it.
You're diminishing the free throw thing like it's just like, oh, ho-hum. I just saw the NBA give the MVP to a guy whose best trait is what? Get into the free throw line.
Let's not do that with Shea. Come on now. We did a whole show last week
about how Bam Adebayo scored 83
points.
What did he do? Get to the free throw line. You're actually getting the free throw line. It's just, well, it happens to everyone. If you're doing Shea, it at an elite level, you're an elite player.
Yeah, but the difference is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is shooting 55% from the field this season. Darren Peterson is shooting 37% from the field. So, yes, if you don't foul Shea, he's got a 55% chance of making. Rob, he's not even making two-pointers at a high pace. He's shooting 40% from two. These are mid-range shots and layups. He's not hitting those at a high percentage right now. I can't ignore those numbers right now. So, yeah, we can compare him to Shea. You're right. Shea does a great job of getting to the line. Shea also does other things. Shea averages 7 assists a game. Darren ain't averaging 7 assists a game. He rebounds. Darren ain't rebounding for this Kansas team. Over that same stretch in his last 11 games, he has 40 rebounds. He don't rebound. He don't pass. He doesn't shoot it well. Oh, you got to start looking at the numbers with Darren Peterson. I promise you I'm not hating. I see the text line, 913-586-7965. I promise you I'm not. I'm looking at the numbers. And that's the kid that's taking the court on Friday. So there's no question he will have a great day against California Baptist. You're just more athletic than all of these kids. Yes, he will go out there. He will probably play well against them. They got St. John's on Sunday. Are you confident he's going to play well? Because I'm saying is, you know, they're throwing bodies at him. That's a team that will purposely try to take Darren Peterson out of the game. St. John's could not take A.J. DeBanst out of the game. He would still score 25 against him and be pretty efficient in doing it. St. John's would not take Cam Boozer out of the game. Do you think they can take Darren Peterson out of the game? Because if they take Darren Peterson out of the game, Kansas is losing. That's my argument for the game. I mean, I'm picking St. John's to win that game. I don't think Kansas is tough enough to beat a team like St. John's. I've seen them get pushed around by too many of those kinds of teams. I just saw them get pushed around a couple of nights ago by Houston, who smacked them up in front of everybody in their basically their home gym, the home adjacent gym. They need Darren Peterson to start playing significantly better for me to believe in Kansas the way that I think people are trying to sell themselves on this Kansas team. They need a much more efficient, much better version of Darren Peterson than they are getting. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to NFL free agency. We'll get back to the Chiefs. Keep it right here. So Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
The text line is very angry.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
Me from my Darren Peterson stance, that happens. CDOT, your KU hate is shining hard today. Peterson is a very above average defender, and the assist stat is cherry picked. Watch the games. Nobody on the team is shooting well, including Flory. He finds guys open shots. They just haven't been falling. How can you say the kid on Arizona, the Berries kid, is better than Darren Peterson? He wasn't even in the game late in the Big 12 championship. How would you take him? I would like to point out that in the Big 12 championship, Braden Berries scored 21 points on 60% shooting, did not miss a free throw, and led Arizona in scoring, en route to scoring a championship. Against Houston. You want to know what Houston did to Darren Peterson the night before? Padlock. That's what it was. Padlock on Darren Peterson the night before. Could not function against Houston. I'm not telling you Darren Peterson can't play. He obviously can play. At some point with him, we have to talk about how he is playing now and not how we think he is going to play. We are here. It is March. The NCAA tournament is here. Tomorrow, the ball will be tipped and your bracket will be live. There is no tomorrow. There is no asking out of games. There is no, I'm sick. This is about buckets. He has 17 assists since February 1. 17. He's averaging one a night. One and a half a night for Kansas. I'm sorry. The way he is playing right now, he is not one of the 10 best players, in my opinion, entering the NCAA tournament. Can he get high? Can he turn things on? Yeah, he's a very skilled, very, very talented player. At some point, we got to start talking about what he is doing right now. And he is not shooting the ball well at all for Kansas. He doesn't rebound for them, and he doesn't create opportunities for other players. It's a problem heading into the NCAA tournament. Let's talk a little bit more basketball here, Robin. Then we'll get to free agency. Then we'll get to the NFL draft. We had Daniel Jeremiah on the show. We had Ken Palm on the show yesterday. Today, we have the remaining two first four games. I don't know who's playing in the 16 matchup. I don't know if I need to know who's playing in the 16s matchup. But we do have Miami of Ohio. They are going up against SMU. Everybody loves Miami of Ohio. Here's what Ken Palm had to say yesterday.
I have a little bit of hope for Miami, I will say, like, historically, so it's obviously unusual. I think this is the biggest point spread for a first four game in the history of the first four. But, you know, like, the biggest point spread in, like, a 6-11 game, I believe, was BYU-Duquesne, like, 2 years ago. And Duquesne won that game, like, fairly easily. And then there was, like, the Iowa-Richmond game maybe 3 or 4 years ago, which was also a big point spread, I think, in a 5-12 game. And Richmond won that game outright. So I'm not giving up on Miami. I certainly wouldn't pick them to win it outright, but I'm not that high. I don't know what people see necessarily in SMU. And I think Miami's obviously going to have plenty of motivation and a chip on their shoulder, obviously less talent. And that's ultimately a problem, but we'll see what happens. If they get run out of the gym, I mean, oh man, are the knives going to be out for the mid-majors after that?
I firmly believe that the public is rooting for Miami of Ohio. They are the Cinderella heading into this. Now, there could be a Cinderella that emerges, but if you've been following college basketball, you have certainly heard the conversations that have been had about Miami of Ohio the last 2 weeks, and I think the public wants to see them do well, and the public wants to see them advance. They wanted their shot. They have a shot. I think they should be a 10 seed. I think they should already be in the tournament. I don't think they should have to play their way into the tournament, but you are here. SMU is an okay basketball team. They are not great. They are not a contender. I don't think many people think they're going to go on a little bit of a run here. That's certainly not the 11 seed that I think people are going to pick. I think that was going to come from the Texas or NC State game. We'll see how that team looks coming up in the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, I mean, tonight's about Miami of Ohio and sort of validation. And it is unfair that their entire season feels like it will be boiled down to one game. But we know how this goes. If they win, they will prove everybody right. Hey, you guys were wrong for the way you talked about them. You should have put them in the NCAA tournament. If they lose today, or especially if they lose the way that Vegas thinks they're going to lose, I mean, Vegas thinks they are going to get handled in this game. If they get handled, it will be a lot of "I told you so." And I think the mission, I think, is I want more of these teams in the NCAA tournament. I hate the fact that we spent the last 3 weeks arguing about Auburn and why they should or shouldn't be in the NCAA tournament. And that Bruce Pearl arguing for his son, it was nonsense. Nobody wants them in the tournament. We want teams like Miami of Ohio in the NCAA tournament. They will hurt the cause. They will be a knock to the mission, Rob, if they lose this game coming up later today. That is just how we do with these one-game sample sizes, which is the NCAA tournament.
Do you think it's a win or lose proposition, or do you think it's like a style points thing? Like, let's say Miami-Ohio loses tonight, but they lose the way NC State lost last night. Texas scored a game-winning bucket with like 2.6 left on the clock. They win 68-64. Everyone's happy, but NC State gave them a battle all the way down to the final 10 seconds. That game almost went to overtime. If Miami-Ohio loses tonight because SMU drills a bucket with 5 seconds to go and Miami-Ohio loses, do you think people will still say they were a fraud, or is it just strictly win or lose? I do think there's some nuance there where if Miami-Ohio competes, I think maybe we would view their season a lot differently.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think really the only scenario with the nuance is they have to lose in a somewhat heartbreaking fashion. If it's a close basketball game and they lose on a last second three, I don't think there's going to be a lot of finger pointing. But if SMU covers the spread and the spread is, what, 7.5, 8.5, like it has been moving this time. If they end up getting beat by double digits today, a lot of people are going to say, see, I told you. This team shouldn't have made the NCAA tournament. They took a spot from a team that was much more deserving. If they had played a regular, normal schedule, they're not even close to it. That will absolutely be the conversation. It does feel like, and maybe this is just the sports environment that we have created, I don't know if there's going to be much of a gray area unless there's a crazy March buzzer beater great game. They either win and prove everybody, I guess, right, or you lose and also prove everybody right. That's kind of where we are right now with Miami of Ohio.
I also think they're, to your point about it kind of being a lose-lose, I think even if Miami Ohio wins, let's say they beat SMU tonight. It's not impossible to believe. SMU is extremely mid. Like just
yeah, the they're a very average basketball
team. The definition of mid. I don't remember offhand what six seed they face on Friday if they win tonight. But let's say they win tonight and go get boat raced by a six seed on Friday. I think the exact same people that are waiting tonight to tell you that Miami, Ohio is a fraud are just going to wait 48 hours. So, like, I think unless Miami, Ohio does something, like, really special, like maybe make the Sunday games or, you know, heaven forbid, make the second weekend, I think people are excited. They're trigger happy tonight to be like, see, big fraud alert. Cinderella shouldn't be a thing, blah, 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 blah. I think it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't tonight for Miami, Ohio. It's just a matter of when those people get their knives out.
I want to play this audio for you guys. Earlier today, we had Daniel Jeremiah on the show. For my money, I think he is the best NFL draft analyst that is out there. We asked him about Caleb Downs and the positional value. Is it there to take him in the top 10? Here's what Daniel Jeremiah said.
If you look at, you know, if you know, you're looking at where does he go, I did not have as high a grade on him as I had on Derwin James. I did not have as high a grade on him as I had on Kyle Hamilton. Those guys are much bigger, you know, much rangier. They both made a lot more plays on college tape than he did. So you're talking about different body types and different production value with those guys. And they both fell outside the top 10. So, you know, where does that place him? I still have him going at 10 to the Bengals. So it'll be an interesting case study. He's a really, really good player. Again, my 8th overall player. I think he's smart. I think he's tough. He's an outstanding tackler. He just doesn't make as many splash plays as some of those other safeties we've seen over the last few years. So it'll definitely be an interesting case study. I know in talking to coaches that have been in, you know, around him at both places in terms of Alabama and Ohio State, they tell me that like you know, the things that you see are good, but the great stuff is what you don't see in terms of his mental capacity, his communication, his leadership, you know, all those things I think are, you know, where I think the sum can be greater than maybe the individual parts on a guy who's not, you know, he's not 6 foot tall. He's not 220 pounds.
That was interesting, I thought, when it came to Daniel Jeremiah. I would have guessed, I would have guessed that he got a comparable grade to Derwin James. I would have also guessed that he got a comparable grade to Kyle Hamilton. Daniel Jeremiah said that he did not get the same grade as those two players. If that's the case, then you definitely cannot take him with nine. Now, you could still be those players, even though you didn't grade out to be those guys. But if you were telling me that you don't think he's the same prospect that Derwin James was or Kyle Hamilton, he is then not worth the 19th or the 9th overall pick. He's worth like the 19th overall pick. If you're taking a safety in the top 10, you need to be unquestionably the best player at your position. Just given the positional value, I think there was a time that Derwin James was the best safety in the league. He just couldn't stay healthy there for a time. There certainly is a conversation right now that Kyle Hamilton's the best safety in the league. I think he's the best safety in the league. If you're telling me that you are not certain that that Caleb Downs is going to be the best safety in the league, you cannot take him with the 9th overall pick.
It was a point that I had not considered until Daniel Jeremiah said it. Like, we've always used the Kyle Hamilton comparison for Caleb Downs. Caleb Downs is significantly smaller than Kyle Hamilton. Derwin James, another good example. Caleb Downs is significantly smaller. He basically has, it's not the exact same, he's basically in Trent McDuffie's body while playing safety. So while he was a freak show playmaker at Ohio State, I do wonder if he's going to get dinged in the league at relative because he's so small. I would still be interested. I still think he's a great football player, but I understand why you would ding him for being a top 10 pick based on what he did.
And I love Caleb Downs. I thought he... It is not very often that you come in as a true freshman at a program like Alabama and dominate the way that he did. He then hit the transfer portal. He then went to Ohio State. And I think you could argue he has been the best defensive player in college football in consecutive seasons. Like, I think he has been an instant game-changing kind of player. I do wonder if we are only having this conversation because of the position. Because I'm just guessing. If Caleb Downs was a corner, I think he'd be the number 2 overall pick. Like, if you just change that one thing about him, I think we talk about him like he's Derek Stingley. I think we talk about him like he's one of those kind of guys. And in this draft class where outside of the quarterback, there doesn't appear to be that guy. There just doesn't appear to be that guy. Maybe you would say that Jeremiah Love is that player, but he's also a running back. So that kind of changes things a little bit. I feel like if Caleb Downs was a corner, I feel like he'd clearly be the number 2 overall pick. I mean, unless you just really love Arvell Reese, I think he's a good pass rusher. But just the way that Downs has been these last couple of years, I think the entire perception around him would just be drastically different. Here is Daniel Jeremiah talking about Reuben Bain and the arm length. There is a controversy on his arms.
Yeah, it's real. It's a conversation, and I said it at the combine on the broadcast about this is real. There's a reason why people care about arm length, and it's not just your ability to escape and get off blocks. It's your ability to finish, you know, once you get to the quarterback and things like that. So it's a real concern. Now the other side of it is the arm length measurements were jacked up at the combine this year. They were different. They were significantly different in some cases from the Senior Bowl as well as, you know, the spring stuff that teams had. So everybody's going to do their own measurements with these guys. So the numbers that you see reported out of the combine, I don't know that everybody's taking those as the gospel, is what I'm getting at there. So it is what it is. It's going to be a factor. It's something they're going to discuss. But I think the combination of his arms actually being a little bit longer than they were measured in reality and the fact that his tape is so good, I can only see him dropping so far.
One question I'd love to ask a draft person, like there's hours to talk to Daniel Jeremiah about. If you are telling me that the ceiling for Reuben Bain is Dwight Freeney, very comparable body type, very comparable arms, I would guess Freeney was just a better athlete than Reuben Bain is. Like, if we look at the measurables, I don't have them pulled up in front of me. I am going to assume that Dwight Freeney just measured and checked out better than Reuben Bain is. If you were telling me that's the best case scenario, what's a realistic scenario? Because we're talking about a guy who, in Dwight Freeney, who turned out to be a NFL Hall of Fame level pass rusher. Yeah, that's everybody's best case scenario, is you become a Hall of Fame player. I would love to know who is the everyday common man, a guy like Hunter from the Texans. He is not going to the Hall of Fame, but he is a very, very good, very, very productive pass rusher. I do want to ask a draft person that question at some point before. All right, if you're telling me, given his arms, given his body type, that Dwight Freeney is the ceiling, what's a regular, everyday, hey, who's a guy in the league right now you think he can be? And if he is that guy, is that player worth taking with the 9th overall pick?
I would need to know who that player is, because and this is a problem I have with the draft process in general. And I think it's more a media problem than it is a draft process problem. I don't like the fact that we only compare draft prospects to their absolute ceiling. You're going to hear this over the next coming weeks. So-and-so reminds me of Reggie White, or so-and-so reminds me of Chris Jones. We don't compare players to just, hey, are they going to be good, and what's a good look like? It's either the best case scenario or they're a bust. So I don't know the answer of what's a common man, you know, height, arm length, whole deal for Reuben Bain. I don't know. But I also don't like that we don't do that for any player. Like, what's a normal comparable breakdown for Arvell Reese? What's that look like? We're only going to compare him next week or the next coming weeks to, oh man, he's Joey Porter. Like, we don't do regular comparisons.
Yeah, someone on the text line says Terrell Suggs would be a regular comparison. I got to look at the physicals, at least when it came to him. I also just, I guess my question then went to the Terrell Suggs comparison would be, he wasn't nearly as dominant of a college player that Terrell Suggs was. Like, I think people have kind of forgotten how good of a college player Terrell Suggs was when he was there. Like, just a phenomenal college player. I don't think that's what Reuben Bain was in college. Like, the Terrell Suggs thing to me always just seemed very, very clear. Like, yeah, that's he had 24 sacks his last year at Arizona State and was a unanimous first team All-American. It's not really what Bain was as a prospect in Miami. I mean, just a phenomenal college career Terrell Suggs had. I have it pulled up right here. Terrell Suggs in college, 163 tackles. He had 65 tackles for losses, 44 sacks when he was in school, and also 14 forced fumbles. He was just an absolute hellraiser. I think Bain's a good player. I don't think he was the prospect that Terrell Suggs was coming out of Arizona State. We did ask him, though, about the top pass rushers. Here's what Daniel Jeremiah had to say.
I don't think Bailey will get there from the standpoint of the tape is just too good. He tested really well. He's super explosive. He's polished as a rusher. So not only you get the fastball and the legit juice off the edge, but he knows how to rush. So I'd have a hard time seeing him get there. Whereas Bain, you know, and I love Bain, he's my 7th overall player, but you know, I could see, you know, get nitpicked a little bit because he's, you know, he's just not as long as you would like at that position. So it's a little bit of an outlier from that standpoint. I think he's going to be someone who can kick in and rush inside on sub downs, you know, which is valuable, but, you know, I don't think he's going to be a, you know, 14, 15 sack guy. I think he's going to be a consistent, you know, 9 to 10 to 11, you know, who's dominant against the run and can kick inside and do some different things there. But I would think there's a chance he's there. And then I put Arvell Reese to the Jets. That's where I'm kind of leaning that they would go there, but I wouldn't say that's 100%. You know, lock it in, done deal there. Because I think if you're just looking purely as pass rushers, I think Bailey's a better rusher than him at this point in time.
That would be very interesting to me if the Jets ended up taking Bailey over Reese. Now, it's mock drafts, but I mean, most of these mock drafts have them taking Arvell Reese with the number 2 overall pick. Bailey at 2 would be a little bit of a surprise to me. It'd be a little bit of a surprise.
Is that, maybe I'm reading too much of the mock drafts. Why is that a surprise? Because he measured out well at the combine.
Sure.
He'd hit all the, you know, checked all the boxes. And when he was playing against Oregon, which if you want to judge a guy by the highest level of game in the college football playoff, he had a really good game against Oregon. I believe Oregon's offensive line won the Joe Moore Award this year for best offensive line. If they didn't, they are one of the top offensive lines in college football. Outside the fact he went to Tech, why would you be surprised he goes number two? Or is it just a compliment to Reese? Because I think David Bailey has all the ability to be number two overall.
I'm with you. And maybe this is me just completely looking at mock drafts and holding it to that regard. I haven't seen one that's had David Bailey at number two. I haven't seen it. Maybe there is one that has it. I feel like there is a consensus around the sport that Arvel Reese is going to be the number two overall pick. Now, could absolutely end up being wrong. These mock drafts are wrong quite literally all the time, but it just kind of feels like that's the direction that this is potentially heading. I want to play one more cut for you guys. This is from Daniel Jeremiah. So we talked about the pass rushers. Another point of emphasis, another point of need for Kansas City are the wide receivers. Here's what Daniel Jeremiah said.
Well, I think they're all, you know, good options there. And I would throw Amari Cooper Jr. in that mix as well. But, you know, to me, Carnell Tate, I'm guessing, is probably going to be gone. But he's someone, I know he ran 4.53, but teams had him a little faster than that. He plays faster than that. He gave him some size and the ability to win as a 50-50 ball winner down the field. You know, vertical stretch to go along with someone who's just got an overall toughness that you love. Mekhi Lemon would probably be the one that fits best for me, just because, you know, they've been a run after catch operation there. He does that extremely well. He catches everything. I think as Kelce starts to phase out, you want somebody that's instinctive, that can find soft spots and just has a really good feel and sees things the way the quarterback sees things. I think that's a strength of Mekhi Lemon. So he would probably be my favorite fit in with that group. And then, you know, Jordan Tyson is as gifted as anybody. The durability stuff bothered me. You know, every year he's dealt with something. He wasn't healthy enough to do what he needed to do at the combine. Didn't do anything there. So, you know, that's just in the first round picking that high up. I feel a little more comfortable about somebody that I can rely on. And it, you know, it's a real thing. You know, everybody say, oh, it's just the talent. Well, it doesn't matter. If you're not available, that's a problem.
That's the point you've been making about Jordan Tyson. If you just look at his injury history, you know, they say your best ability is availability, and he really struggled to stay healthy at Arizona State.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When he was on the field, I watched Big 12 football. He was a beast when on the field. The problem was there'd be Arizona State games. You turn it on, you're like, where's the top wideout? Like, where is he? Where'd he go? So I think the talent is immeasurable, but I understand that people are nerve-racked about the lack of availability. Like, he might be to college football what Darren Peterson was to college basketball this year.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we are going to be joined by CJ Moore. He got the opportunity to sit down and talk to Darren Peterson about his season. He did that for the New York Times and also The Athletic. We'll talk to him about his conversation with Darren Peterson. We'll get back to basketball next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on Kansas City's only FM sports station. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, welcome.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by C.J. Moore. C.J. Moore is going to be on the show. He recently got the opportunity to sit down and talk to Darren Peterson. We will get his thoughts on that conversation. Two things that I want to play for you guys. Number one, you know that we are very excited about the return of the La Tiara taco shells. I want to play for you guys the news so you can know when you can go to the grocery store and take them back to your house for a Taco Tuesday. This audio is courtesy of Channel 9.
They're back. La Tiara taco shells are going to be back on store shelves in April. This is Doug Newton here. We first started talking in April of last year. And how many boxes did you have back last year?
It's two cases.
Two cases. Yep. So a little more than 20 boxes. Yep. How many boxes do you have left?
Three boxes.
You've got three boxes left. There's the inside of his freezer. Doug, you timed this just right.
Yep. Yep, couldn't have got any better. You gotta go buy me a lottery ticket.
So they're coming back to store shelves in April in Walmarts across the country.
Yep.
Can you believe how popular this story
is? It's crazy. It's been insane. And the group, you know, on Facebook has grown, you know, triple in size since April.
20,000 people on Facebook. General Mills taking over the La Tiara brand and those tacos coming back to store shelves in April.
Amen. I usually don't go to Walmart for groceries. I'm much more of a Price Chopper man, if I had to say so myself. I normally go to that Price Chopper Rob over there on Row. You know that one that's by, 10, 15 minutes from here? I normally go to that one. That's my home grocery store. But for the La Tiara, you know what? I'll drive down the street to that Mart, and I'll go pick me up a couple of the taco shells. You got to have them. By far and away the best. So congratulations. They sold their idea to General Mills. Don't touch the formula. Keep making the exact same taco shells, the exact same taco seasoning. That's all we need. That is the first thing that I want to play for you guys. The second thing that I want to play for you guys, and then I actually have a bonus thing that I would like to play. Nick Wright, who you usually look for a reason to hate on the Broncos, the Raiders, or the Chargers. He likes the Jalen Waddle move.
Keep everyone, add no one, which is what they did. They were the only team that had not added a single outside free agent, and I guess still hadn't because this isn't a free agent. And you have a quarterback you believe in, whether we think that's smart or not. Sean Payton clearly believes in him, and he's had a very good first 2 years. And he's not making any money. And you were the number one seed, and you needed a difference maker at skill position. I felt running back, tight end, or receiver. They needed some type of threat. Adding a 27-year-old on a good contract who has been healthy in his career. I think he has six career games missed for basically the 30th pick and a third because you're swapping fourths. That makes sense to me. That is not over-aggressive, and it makes even more sense, Brew, when I think he's better than any of the free agent receivers, and they all cost more money. Now, you wouldn't have had to give up the first-round pick, but the 30th pick is not the same as giving up the 13th pick or a great first-round pick. So I think this is very smart for Denver.
I like this move, too. I do. I like this move. I think, generally, we overvalue picks. Now, they have a tremendous value. Don't get me wrong. First-round picks are super important. But I would say they have multiple uses. Sometimes the use is to turn that into a rookie contract. That's a great use for it. Sometimes it is to take that lottery ticket and turn it in for a proven, already seen product. That's what they're doing. They were going to have a four-year contract, potentially five-year contract. They have now turned that into a guaranteed three-year deal on a guaranteed top 25 receiver, in my mind, player in the National Football League. I don't dislike the trade. I do think they gave up a pretty penny for him. I mean, I don't think they got fleeced, but they paid what I think Jalen Waddle is worth. But for a team that feels like the throne is right there for the taking, for a team that won their division last year, looking at Kansas City and the uncertainty there is about the Chiefs, there's uncertainty at quarterback, there's uncertainty around the secondary right now. Let's see how the rest of the offseason continues to play itself out. I could understand why the Broncos wanted to be aggressive, wanted to go out and make this move, and wanted to kind of strike while the iron's hot and try to take advantage and go get Jalen Waddle. I like the trade, too. I do think the trade is smart. I agree with Nick there. Last thing that I want to play for you guys. This is actually a bonus thing that I want to play for you before CJ Moore comes on the show. I want to play for you this week's edition of Spec Says.
All right, C-Dot, the Chiefs assigned Justin Fields to be the team's new backup quarterback, and I already know what's going to happen on some Monday, so let's just call it October 11th. It's week 6 or 7, Colts at Chiefs inside Arrowhead, 3rd and 1 from the Colts 4-yard line. Justin Fields gets the call for either a wildcat or some sort of zone read. It fails. Andy kicks the field goal. Chiefs go on to lose by 3 or 4 points. You can already see this debate coming 7 months ahead of time. You're going to take the show at 2 o'clock. You're going to thank the other place. You're going to tell a friend to listen. And then you're going to say, why did Justin Fields get the ball in the most important third down of the game and not Patrick Mahomes? I'm saying this before the schedule is released, before free agency's over, before the NFL draft has happened. This is a guarantee. Monday, October, whatever. Chiefs lose, Justin Fields gets the ball, Patrick Mahomes doesn't, save the tape, 7 months in advance, I'm calling my shot.
I can't say the spec is wrong. Maybe you disagree with them, 913-586-7965. Maybe you think that is a absolutely crazy, terrible take. I don't know if I disagree. Now, I don't know if they lose the game because of it, like, that seems a little extreme to me, but oh, I mean, you can just see it a mile away. The Chiefs are going to be 3rd and 1 in the red zone. They're going to go to some kind of weird wildcat package. It's not going to work. And we're going to talk about how they're just getting cutesy. And why did you go get Kenneth Walker if you're not going to give him the ball in that scenario? I mean, you can't see that coming a mile away. I would love to be able to tell the boss man that he is wrong. I do not know if he is wrong here. That actually, that checks out to me. That makes a lot of sense to me, Rob. Can you not see that happening?
It 100% is going to happen. And just to further Speck's point, the same people that were texting, it was a Monday or Tuesday when that news broke. They were texting, I think it was Monday, texting in saying, oh, he's great at short 3rd and 4th down conversions. We have our quarterback sneak guy. We don't have to worry about Mahomes not sneaking anymore. This is a win. The first time he doesn't get one of those quarterback sneaks, that same texter is going to text in, it was bad by Andy. You can never take Mahomes off the field. Sure. This is Babe Ruth hitting the home run after 100%. Calling his shot.
No,
we know it's coming.
I hope that he's wrong.
He's not.
I wish that he was wrong. I wish that he was wrong. I can't. That's a real good prediction. I'm sorry. That's a real good prediction. Somebody said, I completely disagree with Spec. This is going to happen in September, not October. No, that's fair too. I'm telling you right now, Andy cannot wait. They are going to run some kind of double, triple reverse with Justin Fields. And oh, it's going to be so frustrating. You can see it coming. You really can. All right, coming up on the other side, CJ Moore is going to join us on the show. He recently spoke to Darren Peterson for the New York Times. We'll talk to him about it. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Memorial Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.